Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is Katie Kelly, CEO and Director of Learning and Platform Development at Cresco Nova. Cresco Nova is a nonprofit organization that fosters critical thinking, social-emotional learning, collaboration, and problem solving. The world has drastically changed over the past 20 years, but so much of what is taught in the classroom has remained the same. And at Cresco Nova, they believe children should learn how to ask questions instead of memorizing facts, how to use resources to solve problems instead of just being told what to do, and how to collaborate and negotiate ideas with peers. They want them to see the infinite possibilities for growth and learning in this world so that they can be the change makers of the next generation. In this episode, we talk about how the amazing online options for highly capable elementary age students are focused on developing a love of learning. How at Cresco Nova, Katie is able to provide innovative and personalized online learning for gifted elementary age students, and the passion she feels when she's helping the misunderstood and underserved learners. Go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and the pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Katie has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guests and tell us, what's a fun fact about your industry that will really surprise our listeners?
Hi, Bex. Thank you so much for having me today on the Homeschool Advantage. I really appreciate being here. My name is Katie Kelly, and I'm one of the creators of the nonprofit Cresco Nova that's focused on providing gifted education. And a fun fact about the gifted education industry, if you will, is that the launch of Sputnik in the late 50s was what started the space race between the US and Russia. And that was really the beginning of gifted education and the focus on gifted education on the US. I've always found the politics surrounding education to be fascinating, sometimes a bit disheartening and frustrating as well. But it's always so interesting if you follow kind of the trends and the focus of what's happening in our country and in our world and how that can shift what our biggest focuses are in the world of the classroom.
That's awesome. So Sputnik, okay, I don't even know what Sputnik is. Sputnik, is that your company, Sputnik?
No, Sputnik was a rocket ship that was launched.
Oh, because I'm like, why am I like, oh no, like where is Sputnik come from? Like, holy cow. So I don't even know. Sputnik was a rocket that...
It was launched by the USSR, mm-hmm. and it was kind of the lead in this Cold War space race.
So oh my gosh.
They ended up launching this satellite that was the first man-made object to orbit Earth. And that made everyone else say, okay, well, they're leading us in this. How are we going to take charge and kind of come back up? And so what they looked at was education and how are we going to look to our kids and the future of our country
and
find the brightest kids and kind of help them through education. And it's interesting because the politics very much have shifted. In the early 2000s, it kind of shifted more towards No Child Left Behind, which then took the shift away from the gifted end of education to more of how do we help the kids on the lower end, which was super important to figure out how to, you know, create remediate programs for all kids to be successful. But it's, I think what's hard is it always seems like they have to go one way or the other. Instead of really looking at, I think the hope is how can we really differentiate and personalize education so that it's what it needs to be for all kids to be successful.
Yeah.
That's part of what we're trying to do.
That's awesome. You know, I found that with my students, like as a teacher, and thanks for that history lesson, because I'm going to be really honest, I was like, Sputnik. Oh, it's Sputnik. Like, I did not know that. And that's awesome to know. And just understanding like how it all evolved and literally where, I mean, I think I picked up in my teaching career was around the early 2000s. Like I think 2001, 2002 is when I began to teach. So it's probably mm-hmm. another reason why I didn't even realize that. But I do remember all about No Child Left Behind. And I thought it was supposed to be a good program, but I do believe, and this is my own personal opinion, that it watered down and it continued to water down education all the way through for the next 20 years, because you can't focus in on everything, which is why I do love homeschool, because I don't think kids, this is my, again, another personal opinion. I do believe we all have like learning challenges. I mean, I was the one kid when I grew up, I did have a comprehension problem. Just being able to comprehend things was really hard for me, but it wasn't hard when my mom was teaching me, believe it or not. When my mom was with me one-on-one, she was able to really help me understand and comprehend what I was seeing and what I was understanding. And I was really, really advanced until my mom put me in public school. And that's the truth. And, you know, I'm a public school teacher. And one of the reasons why I went into public school was because I didn't want to do that to my students. I didn't want the education to be watered down. I wanted to help them individually understand and comprehend what they were seeing, not what a curriculum was telling me. Like, I see my curriculum, I know what it is, but when it comes down to understanding it and teaching it to them, I just don't look at my curriculum and say, well, then this is it. You should know that. I'm like, nope, you don't understand it? Really? Okay, where is the breakdown? Let's really look at that, because it's probably somebody else that this is going to help us at the same time. And if there is a kid who already understands that, you know what I mean? Then you're just going to get a solidified version of it. So, you know, I love what you're doing, because I know I was one of those 2E kids where I was highly advanced. I was like highly, highly advanced in one area, but I was super deficient in another. And it's just like all muscles, you know, some muscles are lagging muscles and some develop a lot faster. Like some people have like strong legs. They barely have to do any work for it. And other people are like in the gym doing squats, you know, trying to build a muscle that is just isn't their strength area, you know? Yeah. And it's like that with even learning, you know, we have strengths. So I love the people who are taking just the specificities, because the public school, it's very average, you know, at best you're average, literally, because you have to be like everybody else. So your very uniqueness can't shine, because if it does, it's going to put like a wrench in a lot of things. You know what I mean? So I love what you're doing. So what inspired you to create this? And like, can we talk a little bit more about like, what are you focusing on exactly? And in the gifted education programs, like what is your focus and like what spawned all this?
I worked at several different schools. I worked at some gate classrooms in the LA public schools, as well as a school that's very well known for gifted education in Hillsborough. And I think that one of the things that as I moved through this field of gifted education, and it was interesting, we started with politics because it's a field right now that's wrought with, you know, gifted is a heavy word for a lot of people. And I think that the easier thing to do is to say, you know, let's just take away those programs and make it fair for everyone. But in some ways, I think that it's a disservice to all kids, because there are so many kids, like you were talking about the strengths and weaknesses. All kids have different areas of different strengths, different weaknesses, different ways that they learn. And especially these gifted and high intelligence kids, they have this profile they have asynchronous development, where that spread of strengths and weaknesses actually grows with their profile. And so in working at these gifted programs, we hit the place of, you know, several colleagues and I said, well, what can we do to kind of change the way that this is being offered? How can we make this more equitable? And how can we take some of what we think are kind of the best practices of education and really provide them outside of just the Bay Area and outside of a small niche group, but figure out how to access kids globally. So, you know, it's really a passion about meeting these misunderstood oftentimes and underserved learners. And then also helping parents, because it is hard if you have a friend group and you're talking about, well, you know, my child's a couple levels ahead in math and I don't know what to do. And it's not always received well socially, even for parents. And so it can feel very isolating. And a lot of parents through the pandemic have moved to homeschooling their gifted children because it's so important for their needs to be met. And they actually had this whole time where they were at home and they were learning differently, kind of like you were talking about learning with your mom, where she was able to really know and meet your needs as a learner. And so parents were able to, in some ways, kind of help in the learning process or actually find alternative ways to help in the learning process, and now have pulled their kids out of school. But now, and then it's kind of like, well, now what? I know that this is the right thing to do, but it's so hard to put together a comprehensive homeschool program. And I commend all the parents who take that on and people like you who are really helping them to find the resources that are there and available, because it is a big task. And even as somebody, I was a homeschool coordinator for a couple of kids for a year. And even with, you know, 12 years of teaching background, it still really can be a tough thing to do. So our hope is that we can find all of these amazing teachers who are invested in personalizing, use what we learned from online learning in the pandemic, and just really be able to multiply impact for what we were able to do just within one classroom, to hopefully meeting the needs of more classrooms and kids around the world, and making it equitable by providing robust scholarship programs in ways that people really can access our classes, even if they can't pay for the courses that are available.
So what's the name of your company? I feel like I'm going to butcher it.
It's called Cresco Nova.
Yeah, I was like, I'm definitely going to butcher this. I'm like, Cresco Nova?
The idea is Cresco is like a crescendo or something getting louder, and Nova being star, or coming from the word star. So it's looking at like a loudening or brightening star was our idea behind it. But it's a completely made up word.
That's really cool. And isn't Nova an Italian?
Does it mean new in Italian?
Yeah, it does. It means new. So I think that's really, really cool too. And when I was thinking Cresco, I was thinking crescent, like a new crescent, mm-hmm. like a new beginning, like a new type of like land. So there's like so many ways you can go with the name that you had, but I was just like, I know I'm going to mess that name up. So I'm just going to let her say it and the definition of it and everything. But that is so cool. Is that why you made up the name? Because of those two words, that kind of like star, bright, shining, you know, full of energy?
Yeah, well, we've done, so our two founders who are our sole funders for our venture, actually, they were the ones who came up with the name, and they're very thoughtful in how they kind of come to all of their decisions and are really passionate about. That was what their original thinking was in creating it. But I would say that they would be so excited to hear that somebody else actually thought something different, and kind of like, if you look at a piece of art, how you can interpret it in different ways. So I think that would be very exciting for them to hear that.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, yay. Awesome. Yeah. So for the parents and the people who don't really understand what 2E actually means, can we just like flesh it out really quickly? Because I know there's even things like 3E and I think quad E, and I think there's like a lot more. And if it's possible, can we like, I know we spoke about it briefly and I kind of mentioned my own journey with it, but like, can we flesh that out so that maybe people can have like an understanding and maybe like look at their kid? I can guarantee their parents like, man, you're just so great here. What is happening here? Like, and they're not realizing that it takes time, and that's what we're talking about here. So if you can flesh it out a little bit.
Absolutely. So students who are twice exceptional, and I've heard the terms used also, you know, having, you can have more E's as well, but I think they more broadly go under the umbrella of 2E, even if there's more than one learning difference. But that's essentially what it is. It's a student who has a high IQ and one or more types of learning differences. So it could be a combination of high intelligence or high intellect and ADHD, which is, I would say, is a very kind of common, I think, when I see a misunderstood learner, I think that very early on, we see a lot of those kids who are high energy, don't want to sit down, and maybe even have some behavioral ways that they act out because they're not getting their needs met intellectually or otherwise. But it also could be dyslexia or dysgraphia. It could be autism. It's any of the different types of neurodiversities. And it really is, it's those kids that I think are often the most misunderstood, because it is where you see this huge, and all gifted kids have some type of asynchronous development. So that split of strengths and weaknesses, in some kids it's much smaller, but then when there is any type of learning difference, the split gets a lot bigger. So you're saying, okay, my 7-year-old is doing, you know, calculus and math, but they're not reading yet. What's going on here? Or they're reading all of these, you know, they're very verbally articulate and they just do not want to get the pen to the paper. And for some of those kids, it can be that they have perfectionism, which is also one of the intensities we often see with kids with high intelligence as well. But it could be because they have something else underlying, like dysgraphia or, you know, another type of learning difference, that it can make it very hard, even as a teacher who's worked in the field, when I've had kids who taught third grade for the longest amount of time, which is a year that those types of things can kind of really, really appear. And you can kind of try and start to notice some of the differences because of the need for handwriting and writing longer amounts becomes necessary in a traditional classroom. So I think that I see second and third grade are these big turning point years where you're like, well, this doesn't quite look like, and even if you've had, you know, in the earlier grades in kindergarten, you've noticed some differences, but I think that they really can come to a fruition when you get to that 8, 9 year old age. So I think that what's hard is even a lot of the gifted programs around the US, and there aren't, you know, it's just a handful of them, but they're not always meant for 2E kids as well. So it's also really interesting that there's a need for this whole other group or area of students to have this personalization and differentiation, whose needs aren't getting met on top of the label of giftedness, which is already kind of being taken away and pushing them back into regular programs.
So do you at Cresca Nova, do you guys do evaluations to be able to like determine where a child is at and to be able to like maybe create a package? And do you guys have consultations with mm-hmm. parents for that?
We do. So part of what our program entails and includes is, first, we usually start off with a parent intake meeting. So that's a great time for us to get to know who the child is and their learning profile, and what are the challenges that the parents are facing in terms of their education? Why are they reaching out to us at this time? And then we really hope to be partners with them as they move through along the journey. And depending on how many classes they take with us, that consulting piece becomes more and more robust. So if they're a student who's, you know, we look at Crespo Nova as being a piece of the pie, of, because I think that all kids should have a lot of different experiences in terms of learning. And I know when you were saying that you were teaching, that you were the one who was taking them out and going out and looking at boats or, you know, getting outside of the classroom. And so I think that that's really important too, especially for these young learners. So part of what we do is, I actually have been starting to work with some of our families who are really committed at Cresco Nova to look at a child's homeschool schedule and see what are some other programs that I could suggest that are either in person or that could be complementary to what they're already doing. And a lot of times it's actually that they're doing too much, maybe trying to do too much during the day, especially for the younger kids. But it's really helpful to look at the holistic kind of big picture of a child's education. So we have our learning consultants as part of what we do, and then our teachers work closely with the learning consultants also, so that our hope is that they can be like the main point of communication for parents as they go through, and hopefully have several years with us as they move through the program, so that it feels a little bit more, it's what's interesting is it's almost kind of like the model of a college, where you have like a college counselor, and yeah, then you're picking different enrichment types of classes as you're going, even though they hold the core curriculum. It's really about having these classes that bring joy and are exciting for kids, and that they're about topics that they want to learn about.
Yeah.
Because these kids, you know, they don't all need to do math skill building, and they don't all need to do writing practice. Some of them might, and some of them might not need to at all. And so that's what we're really hoping to create, is how do we create personalization and then also provide a place for community? Because when I was talking about parents feeling isolated, and some of these students feeling isolated. So we're trying new things, like creating student recess time so that they can see their classmates. You know, we have kids in Singapore and Australia and here in the Bay Area and other places in the US. And it's so great because they come together and they're 6 years old, but they all love Legos and they're wanting to share with each other what the Legos that they built. And then it sparks an idea. Well, like, well, maybe we should do like a Lego math course. And so it's this really cool kind of co-creation of, how do we bring kids in terms of what their interests are in the learning process and really elevate that? Because so much learning can be done through interest-driven and joy-driven, like real-world experiences. And then another challenge that we have is, how do we activate the space around the computer, so it's not just kids sitting and staring at a screen and talking? Because that also doesn't meet all of our 2E or gifted or any kids, because some are more introverted. Some need more time to move around and couldn't sit in a stool for, you know, the whole amount of time of a class. So we're we're really trying to tackle. I know, you know, even as teaching differentiation, I think is one of the hardest things to do as a teacher is to really meet each kid's needs at their individual level. And so that's what we're attempting to do in these small group, really personalized classes.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, small group is probably the key word to be able to really, you know, hone in on those things with learning. I know when you have more than 10 kids, and even 10 kids is a lot to really get that personal, individualized, but you can. It's just a lot of work. Even at 10 kids, like a lot of work. Well, how do you guys meet the time frames? Because I know, like, different areas, my assistant lives in the Philippines, and it's just like, hi, like, you know, like my morning is her night, my night is her next day, and trying to connect is always like always a challenge. And even with other people who I've interviewed, like in Australia or the UK or Bangkok, and I mean, like, you name it, I've interviewed people all in Africa, like, you name it. It has been a little bit like, oh, that's your time. Whoa. You know, it's how do you guys meet? Is there like a certain time that works for everyone?
You know, there's not. And I think that what you brought up has probably been one of the biggest challenges of my job early on, just figuring out what times people are looking for. And we kind of find the sweet spot where it's, you know, in the afternoon and Pacific Standard Time is the morning in Singapore and in Australia. And so we can have some of these night to morning types of splits, which can work really well. But as we're growing, you know, we're never looking to become a huge platform or school. The only way that we'll be able to be successful in what we want to do is by staying smaller. And so we're really hoping to just hear from the parents about the timing that they're looking for. And as we continue to grow our homeschool base, also we will continue to provide more offerings during the day as well. We are also partnering with an amazing program based out of the UK called Little House of Science, and they'll actually be running some classes through Cresco Nova for our next term. And they do these amazing hands-on experiences. They're doing the science of ancient civilizations, but that they're able to provide classes that also meet UK, you know, it just kind of diversifies the times that are available. So we hope that as we grow, we'll keep adding more amazing teachers and be able to have more times available. But I always tell parents, if our program looks really interesting to you and there isn't a time that's the time that you need, like, please reach out to me anyways, because it's all in the works. And I think we're, you know, we learn as teachers to be so flexible and adaptable. And that's part of what we're doing is we're constantly iterating and we're learning from what we're doing well. And we're continuing to look to meet more kids and to try new things. So we're hosting our first maker workshops, which we'll have a make a monster workshop. That
That's so
a
cool.
teacher she's doing educational design at Harvard right now, and she's coming and she will lead just with recycled materials around the house, lead us monster creation workshop, which will be really exciting for any of, and it's open. Just those are free parts of being, once you sign up for a Cresco Nova class, you're kind of part of our community and you can join in on those types of things as part of just being a part of our community. So.
That's really cool. Yeah, you know, you mentioned the Pacific. We have like a this really we do have a sweet spot in the Pacific. Like, it's like we're just right there because it is morning over on, you know, in the Pacific area, like the far Pacific, and then it's night in the Far East for us. So it's like we're good, you know what I mean? So we're actually in a really, really great spot to be able to like assist and be able to bring everybody together. So you're right on. So cool. So how can parents connect with you? How can they connect with Cresco Nova and be able to reach out to you and potentially get a cons like an educational consultation with you?
Absolutely. So the best way is to, if you go onto our website, www.cresconova.org, there's a button right at the top that says join, which will just take you to a brief intake form. And then that will start off the process of setting up an intake meeting, which will be a great way to get started. We actually just posted our term three classes, which are beginning in May, kind of go through May through the middle of June. And then We'll be experimenting with all sorts of class models over the summer, or our term four, since not everybody has summer at the same time. Our term four classes where we'll do some week-long intensives and that kind of structure versus a longer 6 to 8 week course. So
that's so cool. And you know, and I just wanted to say, I wanted to loop back before, like, I love the fact that you guys are growing through, you know, on the spot feedback. You know what I mean? It's like real life feedback, which is really important. That's what, how any company can get better and grow and develop, evolve into what, you know, they're meant to be. It really doesn't work unless you get feedback. Like, it, you really do need the feedback. And I'm saying that because I really want parents to give you feedback and to, you know, help you guys. The feedback that you've given me so far has been amazing. You know, one of them says, I thought the class you led was phenomenal. She wanted to write you about it, but she finally did and said she just loved the way you approached feedback and the conversations that you guys had, and kids offering feedback. That's very powerful when a child offers feedback. That's really are helping them articulate their thoughts and opinions. So I think that's really, that's also very powerful. Another one said that they love your Zoom presence, which is really, I have to admit, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, she's so calm, like so nice. I was like, I just feel like I can just talk to her all day because you are clear. And it's, and they said, you know, full of clarity, competence, openness, and deep engagement, warm energy. And I have to admit, it's very, very, that's very true. So I love what you guys are doing. And I'll put all of your links in the show notes. So as we're wrapping this up, what is one takeaway you want our listeners to get from our conversation today?
Well, I think that there are so many different amazing options that if you live somewhere where there's not a school right there, that there are resources. If homeschooling feels intimidating, that there are people who will partner with you. There's amazing podcasts like yours that can share all of these amazing resources and programs that are available. And I think that the one, I do think of it as a silver lining from the pandemic, that we did see what is possible and that we can have these connections and classes, and that really we can inspire and spark joy in learning, because that's, I think, the core of what we want to do at Cresco Nova. Is we want kids to leave and say, I have 17 more questions instead of one correct answer. And to leave and look at the world and say, see all the possibilities for learning that are around them, because I think that that's the heart of, when it comes down to, like, what is the point of elementary education? That for me is, I think that's the main point is, how do we get kids to love school? How do we get them to love learning, whether they're at home or, you know, at a traditional school? Are there ways that we can add an extra piece of those to that puzzle, or
even stronger?
I love that. And you know, it's true. I personally agree with the statement you just made. How can I have a student ask 17 more questions versus come away with just one right answer? Because if they can ask 17 questions, I mean, there's a lot of understanding. There's been a lot of depth of learning that is leading to the next thing. And that's really, really what it is all about, being able to be a critical thinker. To be able to ask a question, you need to be able to think about what you're learning, understand it, and then go forward. So great job, you guys at Cresco Nova. So excited for you. Thank you for coming on today, and thank you for sharing all of your knowledge and just, you know, your experience and just talking to us about what you have guys have to offer. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that any parents will find our website and reach out to us, because we'd love to meet you.
Awesome. If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.